From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Schwartz and Nashua battling down the Churchill downstretch in the Kentucky Derby, and here comes the finish. It's going to be Schwartz winning a length and a half. A front-running score for Willie Shoemaker on Schwartz in the 1955 Kentucky Derby.
Sea Hero now on the inside. He gets the lead. It's Sea Hero drawing off personal hope. Prairie Bayou and Wild Gale, but Sea Hero, he upsets them, wins the Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Bunny Side trying to pull up the upset here. 12-1 coming down to the line, and the gutsy gelding Bunny Side has won the 129th Kentucky Derby.
He's got a 5-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front, and from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second, but California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby!
Now, here's Mike Penna.
How's that for a way to open the show? Great job by my producer, Lee Delapina. Anytime you mix in Swaps and a call from Mike Battaglia with Sea Hero, you know that it's Kentucky Derby Day. Hello again, everyone. Good morning and a very happy Run for the Roses Day. Welcome to the show that launched this great network, the Equine Forum, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, ready to talk some Derby with you for the next couple of hours. And I want to thank everyone for joining me this morning across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, in Louisville, and across the country, or listening digitally. And you're doing that on our website at horseracingradio.net. Well, the Kentucky Derby is here, and I've been giving you the countdown for months and months and months and months, and it's gone on and on and on, because the Derby is being held on Labor Day weekend, which, by the way, also the opening day of bow season for all your deer hunters here in Kentucky. And I always like to start this particular show by wishing everybody good luck out there in the tree stands this morning. I know you're tuned in to the Equine Forum on this Derby morning. Well, of course, we'll have all of the exclusive wire-to-wire coverage of the Run for the Roses starting at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Later today, we'll have coverage of the Iroquois, we'll have the Churchill Distaff Turf Mile, we'll have the Derby City Distaff. That's all part of our undercard broadcast presented by Twin Spires, which kicks off at 4 o'clock. And then we'll continue with our coverage of Derby 146 in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network. That's all presented by MassMutual, and that broadcast comes your way starting at 5:30. So basically from 4 o'clock to 7:30, we have you covered this afternoon. And there are a multitude of ways that you can listen to the show. Sirius 219, XM 201, the same channels you're listening to now. Terrestrial affiliates in major markets across the country. Or you can listen online at horseracingradio.net or nbcsports.com. As usual, I have a very busy 2 hours coming up for you this morning. Trainer Dale Romans still searching for his first Kentucky Derby win. He's going to be with me after our first break at 8:15 Eastern. He hopes that 50-1 morning line long shot attachment rate can pull off the upset later this afternoon. Michael Behrens is the man behind My Racehorse, part owners of Derby contender Authentic, the son of champions Mischief. They also are involved with a couple other horses and stakes on the Derby undercard. So Michael going to talk about those horses, and he'll join me at 8:35 Eastern. The second half of the show kicks off 9 o'clock with Sean Clancy from the Saratoga Special. We'll spend a little time talking about closing weekend at the Spa. Yeah, don't forget, closing weekend at Saratoga. Followed by Churchill Downs bugler Steve Buttleman. He'll be with me at 9:20. He celebrates his 25th year as bugler beneath the Twin Spires. Cool story. Looking forward to that visit. And we'll wrap it all up with our HRN analyst and Keeneland announcer Kurt Becker to share his thoughts on some of the things you should keep an eye on in this year's Derby. He'll be with me at 9:40. Kurt and Tom Leach, the voice of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, will both be part of my broadcast team with me this afternoon as we take you all the way through Derby 146. Plus, you're going to hear from owner Jack Knowlton, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, and Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. All of that is coming your way over the course of the next 2 hours. So as I mentioned, you know, another full slate for you here this morning. And, you know, this year's Kentucky Derby, it looks much different than it was expected to prior to entries being taken on Tuesday morning. And I'm not talking about the change of dates and the fact that, you know, horses have now run a mile and a quarter and you know, those types of things. Things that are different from what it would have been on the first Saturday in May. It all started with the news that Art Collector, who in many people's opinions would have been the second choice on the morning line, would be scratched after grabbing himself and suffering a minor injury to his left front heel. He'll be fine. He's going to point to the Preakness. On Thursday, the announcement came out that King Guillermo spiked a fever and would have to sit this one out. And by all reports that I've read, King Guillermo also going to head to the Preakness. So that'll be fun to see those two. Yesterday morning, the horse with one eye, Finnick the Fierce, was scratched with an apparent foot issue. And all of a sudden, an expected field of 19 is now down to 16 starters. Post time, by the way, 7:01 Eastern. You want to play this game? Well, you better have your big boy or your big girl pants on. And you better have thick skin. And you better be able to keep getting up off the mat, because that's what it takes to be a winner and to be successful in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And you have to feel for the connections of those three horses. The Kentucky team of trainer Tom Drury, owner Bruce Lunsford, associated with Art Collector. Five-time Major League Baseball All-Star Victor Martinez, who told me a couple weeks ago, you heard the interview here on the show, that the thrill of winning a horse race may even be greater than any big home run he's hit in his career. Can you imagine the thrill of winning the Kentucky Derby, what that would be like? He won't have the chance this year. Trainer Ray Hernandez, the native of Guatemala, and Dr. Arnaldo Manje, who believed in Finnick the Fierce from day one, despite having been born with congenital cataract in his right eye. They were so convinced, Dr. Manje was so convinced that this horse had potential that he purchased him for $3,000 from his breeder, Paige Jillian Gilster of Blue Sky Stables. Not only did he do that, Dr. Manje also agreed to house the dam of Finnick, Southern Classic, at his farm in Nicholasville, Kentucky, and provide veterinary care. You talk about going all in. And trainer Ray Hernandez, he was all in too. He bought into Finnick the Fierce, becoming an equal partner with Manje and his wife, Thina. And now one day prior to making their dreams and their convictions a reality, they're forced to scratch. Yeah, this game will test you. It will challenge you emotionally. It will provide you with moments like this. But it will also provide you with the highest of highs, moments that you're going to remember a lifetime. And that's what the connections of 16 horses in this year's Derby are hoping to experience in just under 11 hours from right now. Tis the law, he's the one to beat. No doubt about that. The New York bred brings owner Jack Knowlton and Saratoga Stable trainer Barkley Tagg back to Louisville and to the Kentucky Derby. Funny side, the only New York bred ever to win the Derby, as you recall, owned by Jack Knowlton, trained by Barkley Tagg. That story has been well publicized over the months preceding this year's Derby. That was in 2003, which, you may not realize this. That's also, by the way, the last time there were only 16 horses in the Derby starting gate. Maybe a good omen for Tis the Law, who, with the changes to the post positions now, we'll have to see if he'll break from that post 17 where he was scheduled to break. I'll have more on that coming up in just a little bit. Post 17, the only post never to produce a Kentucky Derby winner. But, hey, those guys are no strangers to breaking streaks. Bob Baffert, he's back. Authentic 1,000 words. Bob can equal the mark with 6 Derby victories if one of those two gets to the winner's circle. You have Santa Anita Derby winner Honor AP, the horse who's earned the nickname Chickmeister as a yearling because he was so good-looking, still is. He brings owner Lee Searing back to the Derby for the first time since 2014 when Candy Boy finished 13th. And then you have a whole bunch of other connections, dreaming of seeing their horse draped in the garland of roses. This is a game that's built on hopes and dreams, and no race anywhere in the world will emphasize that point more than the Kentucky Derby. Speaking of that, dreams came true yesterday beneath the Twin Spires in the Kentucky Oaks for She Dares the Devil. Florent Giroux aboard for trainer Brad Cox. Congratulations to them on a massive win, an upset win, 15-1, defeating the two favorites, Swiss Skydiver and Gamine, who are top-class three-year-old fillies. And she dares the devil. She dared them all. You don't dare the devil. I guess they were daring her, and she proved that she was the best. 15-1, paid $32.20 for the win. Fleury Racing Stables, Cutter Racing Limited, and Big Ott Farms, the owners of She Dares the Devil. Congratulations to all of those connections for winning the Lilies yesterday and the Kentucky Oaks. All right, poll question today at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Let's keep it simple. Who's your pick to win today's Kentucky Derby? Not going to give you any choices. I want to hear from you. You've got 16 to choose from. Who's your pick to win today's Kentucky Derby? Let me know. I'll pass those along as we move throughout the program. Again, a very busy 2 hours coming your way. Dale Romans kicks it off next right here on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment, along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's anyone's race as they come off the turn. Girl Daddy strikes the front. Crazy Beautiful bounced around in behind horses. Now she has clear sailing. Fabricate down the center of the track as well. There's one furlong to go. Girl Daddy got the jump on Crazy Beautiful in front by 2.5. Crazy Beautiful running in second. Alexandria's back in third. Girl Daddy's still clear. And Girl Daddy scores in the Pocahontas. Wins by 2.5. Crazy Beautiful was second. Alexandria was third. And then it was Extrema in fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN on this Derby morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you right up until 10 o'clock Eastern. Again, our coverage of all the Derby festivities taking you all the way through Derby 146 begins at 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to see a listing of affiliates around the country, SiriusXM information, and to listen worldwide. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. That was Travis Stone with the call of this past week's Pocahontas Stakes in a huge win by Girl Daddy for trainer Dale Romans. His Derby week got off to a fast start, and he is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dale, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Happy Derby Day on this Labor Day weekend.
It's a little strange, but it's a beautiful morning out here at Churchill now. So.
Yeah, and much quieter than it normally would be at 8:15 on a Derby morning, right?
It is. It's a little bit different. Not the same buzz. Don't have the helicopters above. But it's a quiet, beautiful morning.
Yeah, could you ever imagine? I mean, you're a native of Louisville, right? This day has always been so special to you and to your family. Could you ever imagine we'd see a Derby Day like this?
No. I mean, would you ever imagine you've seen the world as different as it is today? So it's a different time.
Yeah, different time indeed. But it won't stop you from saddling your 11th starter in the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's go back to Girl Daddy for a minute. We heard Travis with the call of that big win in the Pocahontas a couple of days ago. And, boy, did she run well, huh?
Yeah, she's a superstar. She's probably as good a two-year-old filly as I've ever had. She just does everything so easy.
Yeah, I don't know if you realize this, Dale, but Wikipedia has not been updated yet. That was your fourth win in the Pocahontas, and that puts you at the top of the list ahead of Dwayne Lucas and Pete Vestal now.
That's pretty good. No, I didn't realize. I knew we'd won four, but I didn't know that was the most of anybody. Well, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, you got the record in that one. And, you think back to the other ones. Your first was, what, Sarah Louise in 2008, and then Sassy Image the next year in 2009. Sassy Image, you talk about an unbelievable filly. She was great.
Yeah, they both were. Sarah was a really nice horse. In that race when she won the Pocahontas, she beat Rachel Alexander.
I did not realize that. Really?
Yeah. So that was she was a pretty good. We ended up selling her to Sheikh Mohammed for $3 million.
Wow! Yeah, she was great. You came back with Sassy Image, and then the other one was
Sassy
Christina's
was good
Journey.
Because that was my brother. And we owned her together. And that was a special race.
How about the win in 2014 with Christina's Journey?
That was a little bit of a special filly because it's named after Christina Morales that works for me here at the barn with me. We've been together over 30 years. Her and her husband he's my main assistant at Balamar. So her journey from Mexico across the desert carrying two children to get a better life was what Christina's Journey was named for. So that was a pretty special win, too.
Wow. And there would be nothing more special if Attachment Rate could cross the finish line first later today in the Run for the Roses. Look, you have brought some really good horses to the Kentucky Derby. You've been close on a couple of occasions. What gives you the confidence that Attachment Rate could be the one?
Well, we all know it's since the lost race to lose, but we've seen stranger things happen at Churchill Downs. And, Attachment Rate's one just keeps knocking on the door, knocking on the door. He's consistent. He's always right there. And eventually those type usually break the door down and go on and win a race. So he's been running against big fields, good competition every race. So it's going to be interesting to see if this is his race, his day.
Yeah, Art Collector beat him the last two. He faced Maxfield in the race before that and the Matt win. And as you said, knocking on the door against those horses. What can make the difference for him today, Dale?
Well, the mile and a quarter makes a difference. A little more maturity as he goes along. He is a late May foe. He was always playing catch up before. I think he's finally caught up.
Well, we're going to find out shortly after 7 o'clock Eastern. He has the pedigree too. He's by Hard Spun out of a Fleet Alex mare. Why not?
Why not? Right. A friend of mine's a professional golfer. He always texts me before big races. Why not me? So he said that's what I always said to himself on the first tee. And why not me? Why not us? Why couldn't this horse win the race?
What do you do with a horse like this long shot? He's 50-1 on the morning line, but you're preparing him to go a mile and a quarter in a race like the Kentucky Derby. What do you do in the weeks leading up to it to make sure he's ready to fire his best shot?
Well, there's a different paths for different horses. With this horse, it's basically just stay out of his way. He's run seven times. Don't try to go crazy and get him over fit to get them on a quarter. Just go about his business like you're going into an average race. He's already got it. If you don't have enough foundation with seven races this year, we're not going to cram it into him in a couple, 3 weeks between his last race and this race. So we just took it easy. Made sure he was healthy, happy, sound. His legs were all good. He felt good everywhere. And lead him on over.
And Joe Talamo will be aboard again for the third consecutive time. What did Joe tell you about him after he got off last time after that runner-up effort behind Art Collector in the Ellis Park Derby?
He said he thought he had him. He just couldn't get to him. But every jockey that's been on him, including Joe, has said he does his best running after the wire. And that's what gives you some encouragement. It's like they can't pull him up, in other words. He just keeps on going. And, with an extra eighth of a mile to go, that might be where he does his best running.
Dale, what's the situation there in terms of the owners? How many can they all be there? Can they all make the walk over together? What's the protocols?
Now, the protocol is that each owner gets two passes to do the walk over. And that's okay. That's all that can walk over. And I'm sure there's ways to finagle and get an extra pass here or there, but it's not like normal. Usually we walk 20 of them over. And that always ends up being a headache, trying to figure out which 20. So this year with two, I mean, it's impossible. I'm fortunate enough that there's only two owners on this horse. So it won't work. It won't bother me that much. But you have a horse like Tis the Law that has an array of owners, and they all deserve the right to go over and walk over and experience at one time. Be a little different to walk over this year, though. We're not going to walk into that wall of noise you hear coming when they first start see the horses coming around the turn.
Yeah, and I've had a few trainers, Bob Baffert included, that talked about the fact that that can be a huge benefit for the horses, especially the ones that do tend to get a bit keyed up. Any concerns like that with attachment rate? He won't get keyed up, obviously, with no crowd, but is that something that's a factor?
Well, I mean, it's a factor for horses that are high strung. It's a potential negative factor that has been removed. That's one positive you can say about pandemic 2020.
How is it working with the? Do you have to go through a temperature check before you come over? How does that all work?
Yeah, it's every day at Churchill since we've been back here in late May. When you pull in the gate, you get your temperature checked. You have to be scanned in. We had to all have clean COVID tests. We got tested twice so far. It's almost like living in the NBA bubble. And, there's three different checkpoints you have to go through before you can get on the backside of Churchill. Now, once you're back here, it's not quite as stringent, but we know you're supposed to. If you're here, you belong, and you're healthy.
Yeah, well said. So two passes for the owners on the walkover, but how about in terms of just attending? If there's a big ownership group, like let's say Saratoga, are they able to have that many owners in attendance?
I think what they ended up doing was like 12 people per horse could attend. I believe that was the final number that they came on. Now, each trainer gets 6 tickets, and I think it was the owners each got 12. And I'm not sure if they move some around, like if Saratoga had, 30 and my guy Bakke maybe had 5, maybe they moved the others over. I don't know how they ended up doing it, but I know it was officially supposed to be 12.
Talking with trainer Dale Romans, Louisville native, looking for that first Derby win with long shot attachment rate later today. It will be his 11th starter in the Run for the Roses. Of course, he won the Preakness Stakes with the ultra talented Shackleford back in 2011 after finishing fourth in the Derby. Dale, you had Dullahan that was third in the Derby in 2012, and you had Paddy O'Prado before that in 2010 that was third. What's the one you would love to have back? If you could do it all over again and say, man, I want that one back.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, you could have the Paddy O'Prado's race. It was a good one. He got stopped twice, and he was looked like he was trying to run Super Saver down. And Kid DeSarmo eased up on him at the wire. We should have been a second. He eased up on him at the wire, and we got nailed for a second right at the wire. That would have been a good one. But there's a couple of Keen Isis race against American Feral. He ran a huge, huge race, and he had a horrible trip. Dullahan's trip, he was 9 wide around the turn and ends up third. It's just impossible to do here at Churchill Downs. Another horse that we ran, Metal Count, I don't know if you remember him, but He ended up being third in the Belmont. He had a horrendous trip, and I thought that day he was running a huge effort. So, you know, but
yeah,
that's
the trip
Kentucky
is so
Derby.
Important.
Everybody who's ever won has either come, been up close to the lead or gotten through adversity or gotten lucky like mine that bird or a rail skimming ride from Callum Burrell. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime trip you get. So you got to have a good horse. You have to be able to overcome adversity, and you have to get a little lucky.
Yeah, an attachment rate has some tactical speed. Should be a good position, I would imagine. What's the best-case scenario? He breaks out. Where would you love to see him?
Well, the way I see it unfolding is like he would break, and the two outside horses go on and clear us, and we can sit three or four or five lengths off of them down the front side, stay a little wider on the first turn, just clocking everybody's positioning. And then down the backside, start trying to get over where he can save some ground, come off the turn a couple of lengths. That's a quarter pull off of them and just hope they don't want to go a mile and a quarter and hope we can run them down.
Well, there you go. He's trainer Dale Romans here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dale, I know it's a busy morning. I'll let you go. He's won more than 2,000 races in his career. He'd love to add the Derby to his resume later this afternoon. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Anytime.
All right, Dale Romans here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That interview, like all of our interviews, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Wouldn't be the craziest stab in the world. Attachment Rate's efforts in his greatest stakes have not been stellar, to say the least, but he's knocking on the door, and he does finish a little bit. If he gets the right trip, who knows? As Dale said, stranger things have happened at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby. All right, coming up next, I'm going to visit with Michael Behrens, the man behind My Racehorse. They get set to welcome Authentic into the Derby starting gate later today. I'll do that right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
When the subject of Thoroughbred of this dissertation died September 26, 1945, he left a legacy that stirred more genuine affection in the hearts of sports fans than any other the American Turf had ever known. Old Bones, as he later came to be nicknamed, was a lanky foal bred by F.D. Knight and earned universal acclaim on the racetrack in the colors of Willis Sharp Kilmer. As a thoroughbred, he came from nowhere, as the saying goes. His pedigree, My McGee, out of Fair Empress by Jim Gore, screamed aloud that he was strictly from the wrong side of thoroughbred racing's breeding track, so to speak. Somebody early on in his life had the presence and foresight to give him a name that fit him like a rubber glove and said it all about his talent on the racetrack as well. Exterminator. He started 100 times in his illustrious career, 150 being out of the money only 15 times. He had an interesting propensity to return to the winner's circle standing in a rather homely, ho-hum, nonchalant way. He carried the highest weight handicappers could dream up and did so with pride and with distinction. His composite earnings were astounding for the times, over $250,000. The most he ever earned for a win was $14,700 for his 1918 score in the Kentucky Derby. At that, he got to the Derby accidentally, and that story is well worth retelling. Racing for Carl Milam as a two-year-old after being purchased from his breeder for $1,500 as a yearling, he won four times, but showed little, if anything, by way of class. The next spring, Willis Sharp Kilmer had the sensational colt Sunbriar eligible for the classic run for the Roses, but Sunbriar did not train properly coming up to the race. Shortly before the Derby, Kilmer bought Exterminator from Milam for $9,000 just for the sake of having the silks appear among the starters in the Derby, and the rest is historically chronicled. On a sloppy racetrack, the 30-1 game-gelding nickname Old Bones, Exterminator, splashed his way to a victory at his very first important stakes event. After that, he won every kind of race that racing secretaries could conceive. Oh, yes, he was beaten often, but not one time for lack of effort. They piled weight on him that would make a mule driver apologize to a mountain burro and send them on out to take their best at their favorite distance. Exterminator never gave a poor effort. He was the unequivocal thoroughbred idol of racing patrons everywhere, his name a household word. He ran under the tutelage of seven different trainers and made everybody famous that was ever connected with him. As gutsy and courageous a performer as ever set foot on the American racetrack, he was game to the core, even to his last race when he broke down and yet hung on determinedly to finish third. In the early morning hours of September 26, 1945, he met the Grim Reaper in a stall at Sunbriar Court in Binghamton, New York, at the age of 30. An inconspicuous stone marker stands there today above his head on a simple grave overlooking the Susquehanna River alongside his one-time stablemate, Sunbriar. Inconspicuous as it may be, that stone does reflect in its very pristinity that the American turf is a far, far greater and far, far richer institution for old bones having passed by. Exterminator.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
The 2020 yearling consignments of Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud are loaded with graded stakes prospects once again. Their consignments at Fasig Tipton and Keeneland September include half-siblings to current graded stakes horses Bell's the One, Dean Martini, and Indian Pride, as well as full sisters to Grade 1 winner Street Band and recent Saratoga Stakes winners Speak to Me of Summer and Kariba. Brereton C. Jones's carefully developed female families are brimming with exciting updates. Airdrie Stud's yearlings are raised for the racetrack. Think about it.
The 2020 Thoroughbred Owner Conference is being offered virtually November 3rd and 4th. We are committed to providing the Owner Conference in as safe and healthy an environment as possible. Experience 9 panels with expert speakers, moderators, and a keynote address. Ask questions of speakers from your home, office, or anywhere you are. Visit ownerview.com to register and be part of this important event while staying safe, healthy, and comfortable. Wherever you are, we'll be there. Visit ownerview.com today.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home, authentic by a length. New York traffic won't go away. He's trying hard, and Dr. Post finding his best ride, but has five to make up. Authentic just breezing through the stretch. Opens up to lead it by 3 lengths. New York traffic trying so hard, and he is closing the gap now. Here comes New York traffic after Authentic. Authentic, New York traffic are going to hit it together. Here it is. Photo finish, Authentic and New York traffic. Then it was Dr. Post third, and Jesus' team finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum Derby Day Edition here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena with you right up until 10 o'clock Eastern before we segue into all of our race coverage that kicks off 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. That was Frank Miramani with the call of the Haskell Invitational at Monmouth. Authentic holding off a very game New York traffic. They're going to get a rematch later today in the Run for the Roses. Post time 7:01 Eastern. And I know that owner Michael Behrens, who owns Authentic in partnership, he thinks that at least he's hoping for a similar effort and a similar result. He'll take that narrow victory if it's beneath the Twin Spires later today. Michael, the man behind My Racehorse, and he's with me now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I love you playing that. Give me chills again. So let's hope we get one more time.
Were you at the races that day? Could you go?
No, I wasn't there. We actually had a small event. We had quite a few people in Jersey that bought in. So we had a nice socially distanced event there and took 4 or 5 picks and tables, and I think had almost 100 owners show up to watch it. So I was living vicariously through them on FaceTime, and the crowd went nuts. It was really fun.
Yeah, he is a really, really nice horse, and he'll enter the starting gate, the final post position. He'll be saddle tail 18. He now moves in one because of the scratches, so he'll break from post position number 17. Everybody was worried about him being on the far outside. What do you think?
Obviously the far outside, he's had a little bit of trouble out of the break before. Bob's been working with him. So for us, it's all about that break. I mean, it's kind of, we've continued to look at the race and talk to Bob, and, even talking to Smith and the Haskell. I mean, everything for him, sometimes he can kind of take a little step slow, a little step awkward, but he's been getting better. He's been settling down. He's never been as calm. So we're hoping for that good break. And then with his natural speed and his quick kind of once he's out of the gate and gets that first stride, I mean, I feel real optimistic that he'll be able to get over. But I will be on pins and needles for that break, because I think the first few seconds really is going to tell us a lot about how this is going to shape up for us.
I know when you created My Racehorse, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute, but I know when you created it, you had the idea that it would be cool to have people experience the thrill of competing at the top level, and it doesn't get any higher than the Kentucky Derby. So the dream in that respect has already come true for you and for everybody that's involved with My Racehorse, hasn't it?
I mean, it really has, right? I mean, that's exactly what we set out to do, is that we thought, I mean, this is it. Like, what if one day you had the opportunity? I mean, we actually really started the brand and the mission and the commitment around the opportunity to get in the starting gate. And the fact that the first one that we're eligible to be in, because we just launched about a year ago, we're in, it's unbelievable. And I know there's, 4,500 people that are pretty thrilled as well.
Yeah, and rightfully so. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon, and to be able to say that you're involved with a horse that's running in the Kentucky Derby, that in itself is something that's pretty cool to be able to tell your friends about, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, the texts have already started, and the Facebook posts about how many people are sharing the fact that they're in the Derby. I just love kind of seeing the community get so surprised when, I'm in the Derby, our owners are sharing on Facebook. You can see the reactions of all the friends and the family. People using the word hoax, fake news, and things of that nature. So it's been fun to watch already this morning, the buzz about having a Derby horse.
Well, My Racehorse Stable is joined by Spendthrift Farm, our good friend B. Wayne Hughes and Eric and the team out there, Madicat Stables, and Starlight Racing as owners of Authentic in today's Kentucky Derby. You'll have a couple of under contenders on the undercard that we'll talk about momentarily too, but take me through the process. How did this all come about with Authentic?
Yeah, so, when My race was started with National, it was just in July. It was a big partnership that we kind of put together with B. Wayne Hughes. He has been amazing. He's such an innovator. He's so committed to this game. He has such a passion for it. And when he heard the concept that we had gotten approval for, he was like, we've got to do something big. We've got to get a lot of people to be able to enjoy these thrills. And so we had our eye on doing something big together for a while. When Into Mischief has done, phenomenal for them, Golden Sense seems to be following, well in his footsteps. And then when you just saw those raw talent of Authentic, I knew that, Wayne and Ned over at Spendthrift were very interested, and we talked about, what that could look like, and the deal came together. And so we acquired Authentic, early on in I think it was June, and basically decided that we were going to do something really special. We weren't just going to campaign a top racehorse. We were going to allow anybody who came in to then basically be able to stay in through the entire career at Spendthrift Farms for his stud career. Thought it'd be a great way to give people an opportunity to do something that was, really inaccessible, and I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's a fantastic idea. And Ned Toffee, by the way, the general manager of Spendthrift, joined Bobby Newman and Jude Feld on our Derby Countdown show Tuesday morning. The podcast of that show, all of our Countdown shows from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning are available on our website at horseracingradio.net. So you still have plenty of time to go back and hear Ned's interview and hear interviews with so many of the Kentucky Derby connections. It's all there right on our homepage. Michael Behrens from My Racehorse is joining me here on HRN this morning. Michael, before we get into the other horses and we talk a little bit more specifically about some of the other contenders today, take me back through the concept, the idea, the process, and how My Racehorse actually works.
Yeah, sure. So just for a quick 10-second background, I came from ad tech and marketing and just enjoyed racing as like the ultimate release. It was the weekend with the friends, and it's just kind of, you know, I think one of the greatest sports and the best forms of entertainment, but it was never part of the profession. And I had an entrepreneurial bug to scratch, and wanted to get into something unique. And I had met a lot of people in racing. I was trying to really understand what was it that was holding back the sport from really scaling and really getting, I think, the momentum and attention it deserved. And you know, after a lot of research and diligence, I found that anybody who said they had ever owned a horse, it didn't matter what it was. I've met syndicates and individual owners and stable owners and people who joined, you know, nonprofit clubs. They seem to have the most joy and passion for their experience. And so I came convinced that that was what it was going to take in order to kind of find that catalyst to really, you know, share this sport and have people experience something that I've always enjoyed. So I came quick to find out that it was actually a securities nightmare, and I had to spend most of my time with lawyers and dealing with the Securities Exchange Commission to be able to make this possible. But after a couple of years of work, we were able to get the approval to be able to do this. And then I started, you know, we did a little small pilot in California with 10 horses just to figure out if the fans would enjoy it, to be able to buy in at this low level. And that's really what it comes down to, is we started to buy really, you know, well-bred horses. We removed the financial burdens by making the minimums as low as, I think, $65 is how low we get it now. And that's what took place. People would come in, they'd build stables. Some people would try one. Some people would buy every horse. And we just saw that momentum. And then I met Mr. Hughes, and he said, let's take this thing national. And, you know, here we are a year later in the Derby.
So somebody goes to myracehorse.com, and they can go there and get all the information that they need. They can read some of the reviews. They can read about the stable and the offerings and all of those types of things. How does it work then, Michael? Do they just reach out to you directly, and then you kind of work with them to put them into the situation that's going to work best for them? Or do they tell you, hey, I saw this horse on your website. I want to be part of this horse.
Yeah, no, the beauty about this is we wanted to have it as simple as possible. So we have the MyRaceHorse.com website, and then maybe what's even a little more popular is the MyRaceHorse app. You download that. Every horse that's available is there, full transparency, what was paid for it, any fees that are associated to it, why the horse was purchased, how it's been training, videos, walking videos, pedigree analysis. One of the things we really want to focus on is transparency. What we heard is that's kind of really what was key to getting people to want to participate. So they go there, and then because everything has been qualified by the Securities Exchange Commission, they can review the actual financials, the offering, and it takes, you know, within a few seconds after reviewing the offering, you can go ahead and put in PayPal or, you know, ACH or a credit card, and, you know, just like buying something on Amazon. I mean, it literally takes just a few moments, and as soon as you do that, you now have access to all the content, and you're a official equity owner of that racehorse. So it's all done online. And I think that's also kind of why it's caught on so well. It's just the simplicity, the ability for people to do it, you know, on their own time and when they feel comfortable. We have great customer, you know, service team that helps people through any questions. But I would say 99% of all of our owners become an owner via our app or website.
Wow, that's fantastic. How many equity owners are involved with Authentic? Can you give out that information?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's. I think I just looked it up before we started. You know, I think we're just crossed 4,500.
Wow! And people can still get involved, or is this already been a cutoff where you can't do it anymore?
Yeah, we can only sell until basically it's fully subscribed. So you have to go to MyRaceHorse.com to, you know, check out what's available. You know, and that's where you'll be able to see what we have, if shows are available. And as soon as they're sold out, then they come off and, you know, that's it, because obviously we have a finite number of shares that have been qualified or equity interest, and so you can get all that information from the app or MyRaceHorse.com.
Well, Authentic is the son of champion sire Into Mischief, who, of course, stands at Spendthrift Farm. You have another Into Mischief who is going to go to the post in an allowance race earlier this afternoon. That's Wayno, who is named after B. Wayne Hughes, the owner of Spendthrift. Tell me about Wayno.
Yeah, Wayno. He was our, I think he was the first partnership we had with Spendthrift. And again, going back to the idea of trying to make a splash, he was a $750,000 yearling. He was quite the buzz on Saratoga. He made everybody's kind of two-year-old watch list, and he was training lights out. And we came in and last year, and he had a couple races at Saratoga where he was really well bet. He showed some promise, but just kind of didn't finish off the race. And he's with Steve Asmussen, and he was very confident that he was a real high-quality horse. He's just big and scopy and needed a little time to kind of grow into his body. And, a month later down at Keeneland, we were in a maiden special weight. Mr. Monomoy, Mr. Big News, Gold Street were all in the race. It was a really salty maiden race, and he was victorious, and he kind of showed us that talent we thought he had. And then came back a month later, had a little bit of an issue. So with a horse like this, definitely was about giving some time off. And so gave him some time off, and he grew into himself. He has been training spectacularly. We actually weren't even targeting this race, but, I mean, he's been training so well. We're like, you go when the horse tells you they're ready to go. And his work two back was phenomenal, so that's what got him in the starting gate today.
Well, and there is racing outside of Churchill Downs, and Del Mar getting ready to wrap things up on the West Coast, and you have an entrant out there as well named Tis a Magician, who will go in an allowance race, allowance optional claimer. It's the 11th race on the program later today. Talk to me about Tis a Magician for just a minute.
Yeah, Tis a Magician, for some reason, he has become quite a fan favorite. He's a hard-knocking horse. he ran fourth in the Grade 3 Beverly, and he's just a real hard-trying horse. He doesn't have that big explosive turn of foot, but he's got a good solid pace, and he's always kind of in the race. And he was at the top of his game, so we actually, Mandela, our trainer there, he says we're going to Dubai, so we actually shipped over to Dubai, and the early line had us as the second choice in the race. I mean, he was just really at the top of his game, training very, very well. Unfortunately, what happened there, the race was canceled, so we had to kind of come back, and just took him a little time to kind of adjust, like I think happens sometimes out there. So he hadn't quite the last couple of races hadn't quite lived up to kind of where he was at before, but he really looks to be well right now. He's training good. We thought the work last back was kind of a good old Tis a Magician. So, we're excited about him today. He looks like he's well spotted.
Well, Michael, listen, it's a huge day for you. I won't take up much more of your time, but all the best in the Kentucky Derby, all the best in the races leading up to the Kentucky Derby and on the West Coast, and really keep it rolling. MyRacehorse.com is where you can go learn more about the current offerings and about how the whole process works. But it's a wonderful, wonderful way to get involved in thoroughbred racing and feel what it's like to be an owner in this sport. And Michael, can't thank you enough for all the work that you're doing there, and good luck later today.
No, I really appreciate that. Actually, if I could have 15 seconds, there's one more horse that I wanted to mention, because there's
a
group that's super excited. We're also in the Grade 2 Pat Day today with a horse named Vertical Threat.
How'd I miss that one?
Vertical Threat, and he is looking phenomenal. So if anybody's interested, take a look. He started morning line 8-1. I don't think you're going to get that. He's been looking, quite spectacular, but big ownership group for him as well. And, modest $100,000 OBS purchase now, well spotted in their Grade 2. That's been quite a thrill for people as well.
Fantastic. Michael, all the best later today. Good luck, and we'll encourage people again, myracehorse.com, the place to go. And we'll look for you in the winner's circle.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Michael. Michael Behrens here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That interview, like all of our interviews, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. I'm going to get to another break. When I come back, you'll hear from owner Jack Knowlton on Tis the Law. You'll hear from Hall of Famer Mike Smith, and you'll hear from Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert before we segue into a very busy second half of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor. Caraconti.
Gainsway stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream. Value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day on HRRN. We'll bring you all the action from places like Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill, and Santa Anita, interviews with the biggest stars in thoroughbred racing, and follow the road to the Breeders' Cup right to Lexington on November 6th and 7th. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream Race Day Live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, you look at his two works, they've been typical Fizz work. You know, 59 and change, 5 furlongs, gallops out in 112, has no interest in stopping. According to exercise writer Heather Smullen, you know, he's been flawless in his work. So, you know, some people have said, well, you know, he's only got 4 weeks between the races. He's a lightly raced horse. He's had 4 races all year. So, you know, we're excited about him, coming into Churchill, and we expect that he's going to run a big race. If he runs the type of race that he ran in the Travers, I think it's going to be pretty difficult for somebody to beat him.
Well, it's owner Jack Knowlton talking about Tis the Law, the morning line favorite and likely favorite later today in the Run for the Roses. And as you heard him say, if he puts in that same type of effort that he put in the Travers, it's going to be very difficult for anybody to beat him, but the circumstances are different. Remember, his only loss of his career, he's 6-for-7 lifetime, his only loss came at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Jockey Club last November. Now, yeah, he was beaten 3/4 of a length, and it was on a sloppy track, and as Jack said, Manny Franco came back and said it was the trip that got him beat, not the track. So if you believe that theory, then Tis the Law. Of course, he is 3/4 of a length away from being a perfect 7-for-7 coming into this year's Run for the Roses. And if you're wondering about the way that the scratches will affect the post positions in this year's Kentucky Derby. Remember, Tis the Law drew post 17, the only post never to produce a Kentucky Derby winner. But then again, when Funnyside came to the Derby in 2003, for Jack and for Barkley, no New York bred had ever won the Derby. So they're used to ending these long historical streaks. But post 1 will remain vacant. Post 18, 19, and 20 will also be vacant. Keep in mind, it's a full 20-horse starting gate now. No auxiliary gate anymore. Churchill has gone to that full 20-stall gate. So post 1, vacant. 18, 19, and 20 also vacant, which means that Authentic now moves in to the outside post number 17. Not good news for the folks with Authentic, if you believe in that stat. Tis the Law will be bumped in one post to post 16, so he gets away from that post 17. And again, the break key for both Authentic and Tis the Law. But Tis the Law 3-5 on the morning line for today's Kentucky Derby. I knew that this racing, and you're going to hear more from the connections, including Mike Smith and Bob Baffert momentarily, but want to remind you that there is racing in other parts of the country today, in other parts of North America, including Woodbine. And on September 12th, that's next Saturday, Woodbine going to bring you the 161st running of the Queen's Plate at home experience. No fans allowed to attend the Queen's Plate next Saturday, but with fans not allowed in person, you can still join Woodbine from home as they bring you the Queen's Plate experience directly to fans across the country like never before. Follow them on Instagram at WoodbineTB for the latest news, content, and contest for this year's Queen's Plate at home. First post next Saturday, 1 p.m. For more racing and horse player information, all you have to do is visit woodbine.com. Well, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith is going to be aboard Honor AP, a horse that many people feel could be the main danger to Tis the Law in this afternoon's Run for the Roses. Well, he took time to look back on Honor AP's last race in the Shared Belief when he was a heavy favorite, finished second behind Thousand Words, who will be back in the Derby against him again today. And Mike Smith started by looking back on that last race.
And if you were going an extra 16th of a mile that day, I might have got up anyway. But again, you know, he wasn't doing a whole lot going into that race. I think he had a 5/8, was his best 5/8 was like a 102 going into that race. Whereas now, you know, we've really tightened him up. We've got, you know, a couple of really good works right after that. And then his last maintenance work going 7/8 was just really good. He went 7/8 and like 27, just cruising nice on his own, and came back with a lot of energy and really, really back on his toes again. So he's doing really good leading into this race.
Well, doing good. And you heard him talk about back on his toes. He's had the workouts now. He's got the foundation under him. They feel like he's ready to roll. Mike had a choice, though. Somewhat of a choice. He rode Authentic to win the Haskell over New York Traffic last time out, but opts to stick with Honor AP. I think that was the plan all along, but here's what he had to say about riding Honor AP and riding Authentic.
Bob just said, go ahead and ride it. You know, you never know, you know, make sure that you might want to ride this one afterwards. And, you know, he ran well in the Haskell. He didn't run his A race that day either, but he still pulled it off and held on and won. But, you know, all along, I've always felt that Honor AP really, I always thought that the distance races are going to just really suit him, you know. And the question with Authentic is he's very talented, he's very, very athletic, but is he going to really like the, you know, the mile and a quarter? Who knows? You know, you don't know until you do it. There's not too many of them that are really going to like it, but I think Honor AP is one of them that really acts like the further he goes, the better he runs.
Well, the further they go, the better he runs. That will benefit him. He has never gone past the mile and an eighth. That was his win in the Santa Anita Derby. We know Tis the Law can handle the mile and a quarter. He won the Travers at that distance last time out. Well, Bob Baffert is looking to pull off, I'll call it an upset, if you will, because Tis the Law will be a heavy favorite. Bob is rarely the underdog when he comes to the Kentucky Derby. He will equal the all-time wins mark of 6 if he can pull it off with either Authentic or Thousand Words. And here's what Bob had to say about his two contenders.
I think Thousand Words is the horse. We would call him the other Baffert, the other one that you never know, might jump up and win. But it looks like he's doing really well. I think he'll get the mile and a quarter. He has to have things go his way. I like his post. Authentic is the quicker of the two. I don't like his post. I didn't want to be way out there. I wanted to be like near the middle somewhere, and so he's going to have to probably use himself a little bit early. When you have a horse like Tis the Law in there that's just mature and just doing everything right, and you need racing luck.
Well, you need racing luck, yeah, I mean, he's got Thousand Words, who is doing really well. And you read between the lines. Jude Feld and I, when Jude was doing these shows with me every week, we used to say that all the time. You read between the lines with trainers and some of their comments. It wasn't too hard to do with Bob there. You kind of get the sense that he's a little bit more excited, or a little higher anyway, on Thousand Words than he is on Authentic because of that post position and because of Authentic's running style being forwardly placed, likes to be on the lead. He's going to have to be used early, as Bob said, to get to the front under Johnny V from that outside post, whereas Thousand Words in post 10 drew perfectly, just beautifully. He's going to be right in the middle of the field, should be able to sit a good trip, assuming he breaks well under Florent Giroux, who, by the way, is riding as well as anybody in the country, red hot yesterday at Churchill. So we'll see. A lot of things, a lot of questions yet to be answered. Tis the Law has to answer them too. He has to prove once again in the biggest field that he has faced and the toughest challenge that he has faced that he is indeed at the top of the heap here with this year's three-year-old crop. Again, our coverage kicking off 4 Eastern here on the network. 5:30 is when we segue into our exclusive coverage of Derby 146 in partnership with NBC Sports Audio. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to see more. All that undercard coverage, by the way, presented by our friends at Twin Spires. All right, second half of the show is loaded. 3 guests, all 3 segments booked. I'll tell you more about it when I return. But first, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Now and then the stretch, it's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Jam holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Jam, then on the outside, Our Native. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat.
Here comes Minerva, who sweeps to the lead. He's pulling away by 2. He's pulling away by 3.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
And Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside, who goes the lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by 2 lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby.
It's American Pharoah in front, firing line. Dorfman is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of this Derby edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network rolls on. And if you missed any portion of the first half of the program, my interview with trainer Dale Romans or with Michael Behrens from My Racehorse, and of course the sound bites from Jack Knowlton, Mike Smith, and Bob Baffert, just head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast of this program, and all of our Equine Forum shows, by the way, all of our shows are available for you to listen to at your leisure on our website, horseracingradio.net, and the podcast of this show will be up there shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern. I also told you about our 3 Derby countdown shows that are now podcast on our website. Jude and Bobby Newman visited with so many of the major players in this year's Kentucky Derby field, and you can go back and listen to those as you get ready to bet the races later today. It is going to be a spectacular day at Churchill Downs. The weather going to feel much more like the first Saturday in May than the first Saturday in September here in the Bluegrass. Temperature is only supposed to be right around 80 degrees, fast main track. The turf should be firm. It is going to be just a wonderful day. And, of course, no fans allowed in attendance, but that's okay. We'll experience it from home. We'll listen to it on the radio. Maybe watch it on TV, too. Why not? Our friends at NBC do a great job, and should be a wonderful day of thoroughbred racing. All right, second half of the show begins with Sean Clancy. I'll do that momentarily. Our industry star of the week comes up as well. Steve Buttleman, the bugler at Churchill Downs, celebrates his 25th season as the bugler beneath the Twin Spires. He's going to be with me at 9:20 Eastern. And at 9:40, Kurt Becker, the announcer at Keeneland, and, of course, our analyst here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, has been doing those programs with me for a very long time. And Kurt will be part of the coverage team this afternoon, along with the voice of the UK Wildcats, Tom Leach. And Kurt will be with me at 9:40 Eastern to talk a little Derby. But first, it is time to begin the second half of the show, as we have done each and every Saturday during Saratoga, and that's by pouring a fresh cup of coffee with my friend Sean Clancy. Well, there it is, Sean. Here you go. There's your cup of coffee. Let's. Hey, it's closing weekend. We've been pouring a lot of cup of coffees, man.
Yeah, the end of Saratoga, everything's going a little slower than than when it started, right?
Fantastic. Happy Derby Day to you, and happy closing weekend at the Spa. We've never been able to say that before.
No, exactly. It's a crazy time, right? Talking about the end of Saratoga and Derby Day, and it's a different world we're living in, right?
Yeah, I threw a question out there for our listeners on Twitter at HRN and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and kept it simple. Who's your pick to win today's Kentucky Derby? I can remember the days when you and I were sitting up in the radio booth getting ready to do the broadcast of the races, and you and Jude and our team would be poring over the past performances, putting your tickets together at about this time, about 9:00 in the morning. So I'll put you on the spot. Who is your pick to win the Kentucky Derby later today?
Tis the law to me. I mean, that's so simple. I wish I could come up with something more creative than that. I think it just looks so obvious to me. He's done nothing wrong. I mean, he's a flawless type of horse. He can get a stalking position. He can put him anywhere, outside post, which is fine. I think he's got a couple of scratches, which helps. He's the obvious one. It's hard to look past him. The key is what you're going to do underneath. If you can find some bombers to try to stack your ticket some way, that's what you need in this race.
Yeah, I'm amazed. The people that have responded to the poll question throughout HRN Nation, Tis the Law and Authentic, the only two that are getting any votes in that poll question here this morning. Nobody else even being considered, at least by those who have responded. That's incredible, because you have Honor AP, you have other horses like New York Traffic, who is capable of running a big race, 1,000 Words for Bob Baffert, but it is all about Tis the Law and about Authentic. Let's turn our attention, Sean, to your cup of coffee segments in the Saratoga special. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Wednesday one. We'll do that in a minute, but I want to start with your column today. It is entitled, quite simply, Derby Day.
Yeah, I just I was thinking, I had a couple different ideas, and I ended up writing about the Derby, looking back at the ones I've been to. I mean, I think that's the fun part of our sport, is when you can look back and those races take such a personal meaning. Anybody could write this column about their Derbies and how original they are to them, where they were, what they were doing. And I looked back, and I realized 2001 was my first. I've been riding jump races every first Saturday in May my whole life. And when I retired, I was able to go to the Derby, and really winged it the first year. Didn't know anything. I figured I'd just get a hotel room when I got there. That didn't work, and things like that. So that was my first Monarcos, and really went all the way to American Pharoah. I think I missed one, and I know I went home for Smarty Jones's for some reason, and to watch a horse run a Pimlico of all crazy things. You look back and you think about those times in your life, and the Derby marks that. I always say Saratoga, Derby, those type of things, they mark those great passages of time. You look and say, okay, that's where I was then. And I don't know, the memories of working with you guys and the fun we had and the trips and, those crazy moments of pouring rain or trying to get interviews from different people. And, it's fun, it's just an iconic race and has that, made its mark on all of us somewhere, somehow, and in some form, whether you were running horses in it or betting on it or just playing at the races with your friends or working on a radio show or whatever. It's just on my mind. You just kind of stop and think, wow, here's Derby and what it's meant to you.
Yeah, and if you were going to take a break from going to the Kentucky Derby, or maybe not even go back at all, it's who knows. But I love the way you started to wrap up the column when you said that when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, it seemed like a good time to step off the ride, and I haven't been to the Derby since. Not that you wouldn't go back, but, boy, what a way to wrap up a streak like that going to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I mean, that to me was just the highlight of, you know, the three of us working, doing the radio, you know, Jude, I'm not three, it was a bunch of us, Michelle, and
yeah.
Jude and everybody. And, you know, I just remember doing those shows, how, you know, the three American Pharoah wins that Triple Crown, you know, being on the track. I ended up next to Jimmy Barnes each time. I interviewed him three times after three wins. And, you know, it just seemed like, yeah, it was a good time to maybe take a step back. And, you know, your life changes. I mean, I was going away on the weekends, and, you know, Miles, my son, and, you know, he's playing baseball and doing different things, and I'm leaving to go cover the Derby for you guys, or with you guys. And, you know, it starts changing. You start looking at life a little differently. You think, you know, maybe I ought to stay here. You know, I'd rather miss a Derby than miss another baseball game. And I think that's what it came down to for me. And I'll go to another Derby. I mean, as we go along, maybe Miles and I will go together. But yeah, I remember American Pharoah. That was just a good time to kind of take, you know, when you finally got to see one like that. You know, we'd seen so many so close that one was, that was big, you know, to be there in person, to play a very, very small part of it, or at least be able to just communicate it to fans around the world. That was a special time.
Visiting with Sean Clancy of the Saratoga Special. You can go to thisishorseracing.com to read that Derby Day column from today's Saratoga Special. You can also go back and read through each of the Saratoga Specials. They have put out this meet throughout Saratoga, and doing it under adverse conditions like so many of us are, but they have done a tremendous job putting out two papers a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. Sean, in this past Wednesday's edition, your cup of coffee was titled Ride Off, and man, this was a fun piece to read. Tell me a little bit more about this one.
That one, it was a Monday morning. I went for a ride on Eagle Poise, who was one of the best horses I've ever been involved with. I bought him as a four-year-old and won a grade three. He got beat a nose in the San Juan Capistrano. Had a lot of fun with him. And he's retired on our farm. And I went for a ride on him. About halfway through the ride, I was looking around, thinking about stuff. And I thought, wow, I think I've done two things here. I've gone for a ride and I've written a column. So I came home and just wrote about going for a ride. I mean, I think any of us who's ever ridden a horse, and doesn't have to be a horse, can be for whatever that is that you need to take yourself away from the pressure of life. And for me, it was riding him that day. Just went for a ride for probably 45 minutes, maybe an hour, around the, you know, beautiful countryside in Middleburg, Virginia. And that was easy. Came home and just wrote about it. You know, it's very stream of consciousness type writing, you know, where you just write about what you feel, what you saw. And yeah, it was fun. You know, it was just a good Monday morning hour away from things to kind of take a break. So yeah, I need that, especially this year. I think it's like we need those more than ever, because we're kind of, our routines are so upset and so different that you better take a little time to do some things like that to get a release and escape, whatever it may be for you.
There are many people tuned in, Sean, that might not realize that you enjoyed a very successful career as a steeplechase jockey. So to say that, you know, you enjoy getting on a horse and meandering through the hills of Virginia or the fields of Virginia is one thing. But when you think back on the moments you had in the saddle, and I have about 3 minutes here before we have to get to the next commercial break, but are there one or two that even today you still say, man, I wish I could experience that feeling again?
Yeah, well, 3 minutes, that's plenty of time to encapsulate my career as a jump jockey. But, yeah, look, there was a couple big ones, probably the New York Turf Riders Cup at Saratoga. I mean, that was in 1998 on a horse that I had galloped for Leo O'Brien as a flat horse. He's a complete rogue. And wound up getting back on him as a jumper. I only rode him one time in his whole life as a steeplechase horse, and won the big one. That for me was probably that was a moment when I felt like it was worth it. You know, that I'd finally accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And
to win in front of my friends, in front of my peers at Saratoga. That was huge. I remember galloping back on him. It was the ninth race back then. Turf Riders was the feature of the day, and the crowd was standing up cheering, clapping for this horse, and that was a special moment. And you know, it was a big year for me. I was champion jockey once, and that win helped achieve that. And so that one stands out for sure. And then lots of other little ones. You know, it was really just the fun of riding for my dad, and then riding for other horsemen who I, you know, really trusted and respected and enjoy great moments. Jack Fisher and Janet Elliott and, you know, people like that. It really helped my career. And yeah, it was special. It was a fun time. And you know, every once in a while I get wistful and think back to it, but people ask me if I miss it, and it's taken me a long time to figure it out, but I miss it like college, right? I look back and go, college was great. All of us say, man, college was brilliant. You don't want to go back. You know, you don't miss it. Like, man, I want to go back to college and be 18 again. So that's kind of where it is for me nowadays.
Yeah, well, listen, Sean, this has been a wonderful segment, and I hate to see it come to an end here on this closing weekend of Saratoga, but we have done this every Saturday throughout the meet, and we're going to have to find something else to do together on this program, because it really is a delight to catch up with you every Saturday morning, and your unique perspectives and your ideas and your columns have added so much for so many who couldn't be at Saratoga. So congratulations to you, to your brother Joe, to Tom Law, the entire team at the Saratoga Special. You've helped tremendously, and I know that many people around the country are very grateful to have the Saratoga Special out there.
Thank you for everything you do, and thanks for those kind words. It's been a pleasure, and it always has been. I try to bring our sport to the people who don't necessarily see it or can or are able to see it the way we can see it, and, you know, kind of get that background look into the sport that we love. So it's been fun, and enjoy Derby Day.
Yeah, you too, brother. Appreciate it. Sean Clancy, cup of coffee. You can go to thisishorseracing.com to download all the editions. And, yeah, that ride-off one from this past Wednesday is really a cool piece. So head over there now, thisishorseracing.com. All right, coming up next, we turn our attention to another very neat story, and that is Steve Buttleman, the bugler at Churchill Downs. This will be his 25th consecutive year walking out onto that podium in the infield to call the horses to the post for the Run for the Roses. I'll talk to Steve next. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Discover the thrill of affordable race ownership with My Race Horse. My Race Horse features multiple horses at tracks coast to coast trained by top trainers like Todd Pletcher, Bob Baffert, Steve Asmussen, and Linda Rice. My Race Horse provides you with exclusive owner updates, and all earnings are paid directly to your online account. Get started now for as little as $65 at MyRaceHorse.com and the free MyRaceHorse.com app. My Race Horse is offering securities only through the use of an offering circular for this part of the offering statement qualified by the Securities and Exchange Commission under Tier 2 of Regulation A. A copy of the offering circular may be obtained at myracehorse.com.
Catholic Boy, one of only three American three-year-old colts in history to win grade ones on both dirt and turf, including the immortal Secretariat. A graded stakes winner at 2, 3, and 4, from coast to coast, from 7.5 furlongs to 1.25 miles. In 2018, the fastest three-year-old in the country over 10 furlongs by internationally successful sire More Than Ready. Catholic Boy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Thank you. and that's the way it's going to sound. Later today, it has sounded like that for generations at Churchill Downs when the horses come onto the track for the post parade. And that was indeed Steve Buttleman with the call to the post. He appeared in our studio a few years back for an interview and was kind enough to do that for us. And boy, he is spectacular. He celebrates his 25th consecutive year as the bugler at Churchill Downs, and he is with me now. It is a privilege. Steve Buttleman, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you today?
Very well, and even better now that I got to hear your call to the post again.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning. The only thing we're missing are the fans.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be a little bit surreal. I'm so used to seeing you walk out onto the platform there outside the infield pagoda and your familiar red jacket and the black cap, and you hit the call to the post, and you're usually looking at tens of thousands of fans in the grandstand and clubhouse. This year you're going to be looking at an empty grandstand. What's it been like so far?
It's definitely weird. Not luckily, but since we had to do that in the spring, it's not quite as weird as it could have been. But it's definitely weird on Derby Day for sure to not have hundreds of thousands of people here. And usually when I play the call to the post for the race itself, after about three notes, the whole place erupts, and that's going to be missing this year, which is going to be a bummer.
Yeah, that's right, too. We'll hear about athletes who get pumped up when the crowd starts to roar. Does that get your juices flowing a little bit?
It does. It gets, it helps. I think it helps me focus a little bit. And, also interacting with the fans in between races, like in the suites that are next to the winner's circle. Sometimes that helps just lighten the stress a little bit too, just making things a little more normal and bringing it back down.
Steve, you're going to do something a little different this year too, if I understand correctly. You'll also be playing the national anthem earlier in the day, and that's a departure from what we've seen the past several years when Churchill has brought in big recording artists to do that. Is that true? That's what you're going to be doing early?
Yes, sir. Yep. That's quite an honor. I enjoy getting to do the national anthem live here every day for our race card, but getting to do it for the Derby and on national TV is something that's new.
Is it a difficult song to play?
Actually, it's easier than the call to the post because
really?
I think of the words as I play to try to get the breathing and everything just to sound like I was singing it more than playing it. So for me, the national anthem is much easier than the call to the post.
You know, when you went to Churchill Downs 25 years ago and auditioned to be the bugler, I can remember the story you told me. You said it was almost like being on American Idol in some respects, right?
Yeah, they had cameras set up and a stage and a panel of judges, and we all did our call to the post. And we all did it in front of the other applicants, and we all knew each other, which made it even worse. And we all did our call to the post. There was eight of us there. They narrowed it down to two of us. And then we did our call to the post over and over, and I was the one that was lucky enough to be picked.
In all reality, did you really truly believe that 25 years later you'd still be walking out there and doing it every single day?
No. Back then I don't know if I knew what to expect. Now I realize that the Derby is much bigger than – you know, this one race. It extends beyond one day, and especially in Louisville, Lexington, Kentucky, it's the theme of a lot of conventions that come to town. It's on a lot of people's bucket list, and so to get to be a part of that and share that with people throughout the year is a real blessing.
Yeah, very well said. And when we throw it to the call to the post on our coverage, and we've been broadcasting the Kentucky Derby on the network now since 2011. To me, it is always one of those moments that you don't want to miss. You don't want to get to it late. If you get to it early and the crowd is rumbling a little bit and then you start to play, it's fine. But in terms of timing, I never want to miss the call to the post. There's just something that's so identifiable about that. Steve, how about for you? How do you view your role in the whole pageantry of the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I'm a small part of the entire mechanism that is Churchill Downs and Derby Day. But fortunately, or stress-wise, I guess, unfortunately, I'm a very visible part of it. So I think when I play the call to the post on Derby Day, it is like the culmination of 4 weeks of intense festivities that have come to a point, and now everyone knows now's the time for the race. And like I said, it's just like 4 weeks of it just comes to it right there.
That's an awesome responsibility.
Yeah, I think it's one reporter asked me what it was like, and he obviously didn't really know a lot about the Derby. And I said, well, it's kind of like saying, gentlemen, start your engines at the Indy 500.
That's a great way to put it.
What I liken it to.
Yeah, it's a great analogy, great way to put it. Steve Buttleman, bugler at Churchill Downs, celebrating 25 years here in 2020. He's my special guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, walk me back to the beginning a little bit and take me through the early days of Steve Buttleman, if you will. Were you always interested in music, and did you always think that, you know, maybe someday this might be where you end up?
Well, I started playing cornet in fifth grade and switched over to trumpet, which they're the same thing. It's just that I got my trumpet in eighth grade, and I played through middle school and high school, and I really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed singing in the concert choir as well, and orchestra. And so I decided to pursue a trumpet performance degree at U of L. And I was hoping that I'd, you know, be playing in a orchestra somewhere in the country and teaching privately or maybe at a university. I never dreamed that I would be the bugler here at Churchill Downs and be here for over 25 years. So life has a way of steering you in the right direction, even when you try not to go that way.
Are there folks that, as you were beginning to make your way through your career, and you mentioned the University of Louisville, were there people that you, other musicians that you would look up to and think maybe one day you try to emulate their style or whatever it might be?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I looked up to my teachers, Leon Rapier, Jim Depp, Jerry Amond, Mike Tunnell. All of those gentlemen were just, I couldn't have been here without them. And they inspired me, but then I also wanted to play like them too. And I think developing a good idea of what, let me turn this thing off.
My hand is down at the winner's circle, and I just put
me. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that.
No problem.
But developing an idea of what you want your sound to be like is really important. And so I would listen to recordings of Maurice André, and, well, back then, Maynard Ferguson was huge. I couldn't hit all the high notes that he could hit, but I still wanted to play like him. And then you hear stuff in the movies like the Rocky theme, Star Wars, the Olympic fanfare, and that always, I was like, man, I want to be the one that gets to do that someday. Or
yeah,
Broadway
well,
shows.
Cheap.
I always wanted to play on Broadway. I love musical theater and getting to be a part of that as well.
Have you ever had the chance to do any of that type of work?
Yeah, just not. I've done a summer theater here in Louisville, back at Iroquois Park when we did shows there over the summer. And I've been able to play with quite a few high school productions. And I have played at the Belmont, so I've played in New York, technically. and then I've played at the Preakness, so I've played at all three Triple Crown races, which is something I never dreamed of.
Well, when you're at a place like Churchill Downs, which is hallowed grounds for horse racing fans, and Derby Day is as special as it gets in the sport of thoroughbred racing, I know that over 2.5 decades of working there and being the bugler, there are moments that come up that always resonate with you. So tell me about a couple of the moments that when you think back on your career at Churchill Downs, you're never going to forget.
Well, one's got to be watching the Derby with Wynton Marcellus. He was here in town doing a master class at U of L, and he came to play along with the band, play my old Kentucky home. And after he was done, I went out and introduced myself and asked him if he'd want to watch the race from up on top of the pagoda on the roof. And he said, sure. So that's got to be a highlight. I've met a lot of different of the recording artists, and that's been really, really cool. Meeting Josh Groban was great. His dad plays trumpet, and so we talked about that. And meeting Bob Costas is great. Oh, there's just so many things that I've been blessed with this position to get to do. But those are a few of the highlights.
Yeah, well, Steve, I can tell you there was there's nobody better, man. And I can't thank you enough for all your time here this morning and for, you know, stopping by the studio a few years back. And you've always been very generous with your time. And keep up the great work. And we can't wait for the call of the post later this afternoon before the Kentucky Derby.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for having me. Thank you what you do for horse racing and keeping everybody excited. And I hope you guys have a wonderful Derby Day.
Yeah, we'll be listening. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me. Steve Buttleman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And I thought, you know what? 25 years, he deserves to be our industry star of the week. And that segment, that interview brought to you by my good friend Stuart Morris, who is super excited about this year's Kentucky Derby, and rightfully so. He has South Bend, a horse that has come through the Stuart Morris program and the consignment, who will go to the post in the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, that's certainly a sentimental horse for Stuart, but it goes back further than that. His father, Jeffrey, had hands on two classic winners, Sarava, bred, raised, and sold for Mr. and Mrs. Bill Entenmann by Highclere, and Mind That Bird, who was sold for his friend Bill Betts by Highclere. And maybe South Bend can be the one to complete the hat trick. So well done, Stuart Morris. If you're going to be at the major sales coming up, Fasig Tipton later this week, of course, Keeneland after that, head over and see the Stuart Morris consignments and tell him that you heard the Baron talking about him right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He really does a fantastic job, and good luck to South Bend in today's Kentucky Derby. When I come back, Kurt Becker joins me, our analyst here on the network, the announcer at Keeneland. Yeah, he does it all. He's really good. He'll be with me to talk Derby right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Adina Springs bred and raced Awesome Again's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer Ghost Sapphires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adina Springs also bred and raced Ghost Sapphires' best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward Charmin Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Charmin Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Charmin Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Charmin Ghost. Believe in the first Charmin Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Don't miss your chance to watch and wager on the world's richest quarter horse race, the Grade 1 All-American Futurity. The race card this weekend at Ruidoso Downs features the final leg of the Quarter Horse Triple Crown, the $3 million All-American Futurity, as well as the $1 million All-American Derby and the inaugural $420,000 All-American Oaks. You'll find a simulcast broadcast of Ruidoso Downs races along with free PPs at raceruidoso.com. Visit your favorite ADW provider to place your bet. Guaranteed excitement? You bet.
The test of time. There is no better example than Mill Ridge Farm. Founded in 1962 by Alice Chandler, this year's inductee into the Hall of Fame as a pillar of the turf. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 35 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 2 Horses of the Year, nearly 2 per year. If you're looking for success in the thoroughbred business, consider Millridge Farm and its consulting arm, Nicoma Bloodstock, for it is proven and tested over time.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they are coming with a flourish at the quarter pole. Favorite Trick is yet to start his run. Cape Town is gearing up. He's 5 lengths away. Top of the stretch, and Real Quiet gets the lead on the outside. Indian Charlie is under the whip in second. Cape Town will have to do more. Victory Gallop is running with Hallory Hunter on the far outside. But Real Quiet is at the eighth pole. He's got the lead by 2. Indian Charlie, Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
The ultra-talented Kurt Becker with the call of Real Quiet winning the Kentucky Derby. That was the year my wife and I got engaged, by the way. Yeah. Kurt Becker with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He'll be part of our coverage team this afternoon, beginning at 5:30 Eastern. Of course, you can tune into the undercard coverage, which kicks off 4 o'clock. Bobby Newman, Ashley Mayhew will have that coverage presented by Twin Spires. And then 5:30, myself, Kurt, and Tom Leach, the voice of the UK Wildcats, all together to bring you coverage of Derby 146 again this year. Kurt, happy Derby Day, my friend.
Hey, Michael, so do you. Good to be with you.
Fun to look back on your race call with Real Quiet. People forget you called the Kentucky Derby a couple of times.
It was a real privilege and an honor to spend a couple of seasons as the track announcer at Churchill Downs. Silver Charm and Real Quiet were the two derbies I had the privilege to call. I used to say that since those were Bob Baffert's first two Derby wins, that I was his good luck charm, but he's proved he can win with other announcers as well.
Yeah, he's done okay for himself, and he'll look to equal the top mark later today if he can win it with either 1,000 words or with Authentic. Of course, we know Tis the Law is the horse to beat, 3-5 on the morning line. He'll take all the money. What are some of the storylines we'll be keeping an eye on later today?
Well, it's going to be a Derby that despite the unusual circumstances and the road getting to the Derby, there will be a lot of storylines. I think number one is the fact that with Tis the Law, you've got the connections of the Derby winner from 17 years ago. It's unusual to see an owner and a trainer come back and perhaps win a Derby with that much time in between. I think about the only trainer in the modern era I can think of that had a gap of that nature between Derby wins was Carl Nasker. And I think that's the thing with Barkley Tag. I think similar to Carl, Barkley is just one of those trainers that he doesn't attempt to fill a barn full of 100 yearlings every year. He keeps a smaller operation. He loves the hands-on aspect. And as a result, we don't often see Barkley Tag at the Kentucky Derby, but this year is one of those years. I think that you hear you've got Bob Baffert. Normally, we're talking about Bob right off the top as the guy to beat. And he's got two horses in the Derby, of course, in Thousand Words and Authentic, but they were not his flagship horses by any means. It's one of those situations that they've ended up rising to the top for him almost by default when he had horses last spring. That, look, if this race had been run as scheduled the first Saturday in May, we would be talking a lot more about Bob Baffert with horses like Charlatan and Nadal that he had on the trail back a few months ago. But not so much the case today. He's more looking for the chance to be the spoiler. You've got a young jock in Manny Franco. You've got a lot of jockeys that, because of the COVID restrictions and the quarantine restrictions, that are getting chances to ride in the Derby that normally don't compete in the Derby. So all kinds of different angles to talk about later today.
Yeah, and then you've got Honor AP. And it's interesting, Kurt, I asked our listeners to weigh in this morning at HRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And, folks, you can still do that. The poll question is quite simple. Who do you like to win today's Kentucky Derby? Who's your pick? And not one person has mentioned Honor AP yet. And Honor AP, second choice now on the morning line. This is a horse that he is a good-looking, big, strapping colt. He earned the name Chickmeister as a yearling because he was so pretty at the yearling sales in Saratoga. Nobody talking about Honor AP, which is surprising.
It is surprising. He's certainly bred to go the distance. He's got a trainer who's won the race before in John Sheriffs. He's got one of the most accomplished jockeys of all time and two-time Derby winner and Triple Crown winner Mike Smith. And the thing about Honor AP, which jumps off the page at me, is the fact that he has seldom stretched out beyond a mile and a 16th. And the one time that he did in the Santa Anita Derby, that arguably was the best race of his career. I think that the mile and a quarter today should be something that he absolutely relishes. He's one of the horses in the lineup that Tis the Law has not faced. And, of course, on the other side of that, with Honor AP, you've got the question mark of can he be as competitive outside of California as he has been on the West Coast? And, of course, to be fair, I mean, we say that he should like the mile and a quarter. We don't know that for sure just yet. And that's the thing that's so different to me about this year's Derby regarding the favorite. You know, a lot of times we come to Churchill first Saturday in May and we look at the favorite and say, well, can he get the mile and a quarter? Well, that's the thing about Tis the Law, because of the Travers. And the way the schedule's fallen this year, he's already answered that question, and we know he can absolutely crush it at 10 furlongs. So if Honor AP does step up, and if he does like the stretch out like it appears he should, I think it's dangerous to overlook that horse.
Yeah, Honor AP, Tis the Law, Authentic, each breaking from the three outside post positions, respectively. They are going to garner most of the attention in the wagering. Most of the money will go to them. Everybody else figures to be a pretty big price in here. I talked to trainer Dale Romans, who was looking for his first Derby win with attachment rate 50-1 on the morning line. He joined me in the first half of the show. Another 50-1 shot that is garnering a lot of attention this week is Necker Island, not so much because of his accomplishments, Kurt, on the racetrack, but because of his human connections.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be the first time in 13 years that we've had a horse in the Kentucky Derby owned by African-American connections. The last time was Curlin back in 2007, who ran third that year, and he was owned in part by Shirley Cunningham. And you've got a group of investors with Necker Island who are from the Lexington, Kentucky area. This was a $250,000 yearling purchase originally, but then the current group, they actually claimed him for considerably less than that, for $100,000. The thing you've got to like about the horse, he's had four races over the Churchill Down Strip, and he's had a very good summer. Now, the thing is, he's 0-6 in stakes races, but he always seems to give a good account of himself. And if you like history, if you like racing history, consider the fact that co-owner Greg Harbutt, his great-grandfather, Will Harbutt, was the caretaker for the legendary Man of War. I mean, if you love racing history at all, you've got to absolutely have some nostalgia, some sentimental attachment here to a horse like Necker Island.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Necker Island and another long shot, South Bend, are the only two horses in this year's Derby field to own a win over the Churchill Downs racetrack, and they've each done it twice. So keep that in mind if you're looking for a horse for course angle in the Derby later today. Visiting with Kurt Becker, our analyst on the broadcast later this afternoon. He and I have been partnering on the broadcast for a very long time, and it's been a fun ride. He's also the announcer at Keeneland. He handles the Keeneland sales announcing along with his colleagues and does a fantastic job. Kurt, I'm going to ask you about another horse because there's a saying in racing that says, okay, Authentic is going to get play. He's one of the favorites. He won the Haskell last time out. If you like Authentic, you have to like the horse that was just a nose behind him and closing fast in that Haskell, and that's New York Traffic for trainer Safi Joseph Jr.
You really do, Mike. And when you consider that the Haskell's at a mile and an eighth, today it's a mile and a quarter, and the way that New York Traffic finished off in that race coming down the stretch and just missing by inches at the wire. I think New York Traffic is a horse that merits a pretty strong look. Let's not forget, he's not a one-hit wonder. This is a horse who has scored 110 points in the various qualifying races along the trail to the Kentucky Derby. That puts him in the top five as far as those points were concerned. And the other thing was the fact that he's had a good race at Churchill. He was runner-up in May in the Matt Wynn. And he was runner-up by a length to Maxfield. And let's not forget that. I mean, Maxfield is a horse that, if not for the fact that he's been plagued with a few issues along the way, when he was at his best, he was being touted as one of the potential favorites for the Kentucky Derby until he got sidelined. And people were so excited about Maxfield when he made his return to the races this year, and understandably so. Well, New York Traffic gave a good account of himself in his race against Maxfield this year. And his works, if you put faith, if you put stock in morning workouts, New York Traffic has been working just terrifically since the Haskell at Saratoga. So if those Saratoga works mean anything, if the Haskell performance in New Jersey means anything, and if the runner-up to Maxfield means anything, this is a horse that should be on the radar.
You know, there were two other storylines, two other angles associated with the Derby field that really stood out to me. And one of those involves trainer Mark Cassie and Forcible, who, again, another long shot, 30-1 on the morning line, has been knocking on the door. He's a big late runner. But you think back to a year ago and the situation with War of Will and Maximum Security at the top of the stretch. There were other horses affected too, but Mark Cassie really believed that War of Will was moving like a winner before he was interfered with, and as we know how everything played out, Maximum Security was disqualified. Country House for Bill Mott put up for the victory, but here he is with Enforceable. Boy, a little poetic justice maybe if Enforceable were to win.
And it's not out of the question for that horse to win, and it would make quite a headline for trainer Mark Cassie after what he experienced a year ago in the Derby. The thing that, sometimes folks in the industry, they will talk about the racing gods, as people like to say it with a smile. And I think that if you subscribe to that theory of the racing gods, well, I would think that they've got to remember the dignity with which Mark Cassie handled that whole situation last year. And I think that the way he represented the sport, when Mark spoke to the media after the Derby a year ago, and he said, look, as far as we're concerned, it's disappointing, but we're going, there's nothing you can do about it. And he said, we're going to move on to the Preakness, and we're going to try to make our statement on the racetrack. And sure enough, they did when War of Will came home a winner. I just thought that Mark handled that whole situation as best as could be done. And Enforceable is a horse who should benefit from the realigned schedule this year. But he had points. At the time that everything went into lockdown back in March, he had enough points at that point that he would have been solidly in the Kentucky Derby. But Mark Cassie has said he wouldn't have been, the horse wasn't really ready to run in a race like the Derby. He said that we probably would not have gone, points notwithstanding. But Mark has since said that the way this horse has matured and developed over the summer, he is ready for this race. So Enforceable is a great example of a horse that could benefit tremendously from having this race moved to September.
Yeah, I mentioned that there were two storylines that stood out to me, Mark being one of those, the other one being Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, who is closing in on 9,000 career victories. Only Dale Baird has trained more winners in the history of our sport. Steve has been knocking on the door on multiple occasions in the Kentucky Derby, has yet to add that one to his resume. He takes over the training of Max Player, who transfers in from Linda Rice after finishing third behind Tis the Law in both the Belmont and the Travers in his last two starts. Could this be the one? Could this be the moment for Steve Asmussen later today?
Well, the skeptic in me says no, and the reason I say that is if you go back and look, this is a horse, Max Player, who he was beaten 5 lengths in the Belmont by Tis the Law. He was beaten 7 lengths in the Travers by Tis the Law. So he's got to make up 5 to 7 lengths on the favorite. That is a tall order for anyone, even Steve Asmussen. And one has to consider that this horse transferred to Steve just 3 days after the Travers. So he's only had him since August 11th. Now, with that said, I think this is a horse who has the stamina. There might be some question as far as whether he is good enough to step up and beat the favorite or even to beat a horse like Honor AP. But I suppose on short notice in 3 weeks' time, if there's anybody who can take a horse and know how to take maximum advantage of those 3 weeks or so to get him ready for the Kentucky Derby, if you're in the hands of Steve Asmussen, you're in pretty good hands. So, Steve is somebody that he's been close. I mean, he's been 0-for-20 in the Derby, but he's been second, he's been third, he's been fourth. And one has to think at some point before he wraps up his career someday that he will be standing in the winner's circle for the Derby. But I will admit, with as much respect as I have for Steve, I'm skeptical. If he can pull that off today, that will rank as one of his signature achievements.
Well, no shortage of storylines associated with the 16-horse field. And, Kurt, I guess I'll ask you this question before we wrap it up. How do you see the race unfolding, and who do you think is wearing the roses at the end?
Well, it seems like the conventional wisdom says that as far as the pace scenario, a lot of folks think that Authentic and possibly New York Traffic are going to be the two horses that go out and set the pace, and the Tis the Law, the favorite, will be sitting in a perfect striking position. I tend to think that regardless of who does go out and lead, and really I think despite the pace, I don't think it matters if the pace is fast, if it's moderate. I think any way you slice it, as long as Tis the Law gets out of the starting gate without any issues, I just think he overwhelms this field. I hate favorites. I'm somebody that picked against American Pharoah and Justify in the Derby, just thinking I could outwit everybody and come up with some kind of clever angle. And even I am looking at this race today and saying that my goal is to maybe do like a four-horse exacta box, take the favorite and throw in some horses like New York Traffic at a bigger price and hope for the best. So I think at the end of the day, it is going to be Tis the Law who reigns as Derby winner 146.
Well, 9 hours, 8 minutes, now 7 minutes and 58 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. We'll take you all the way through the 2020 edition here on the network. You can tune in to the undercard beginning at 4 Eastern, presented by Twin Spires, and at 5:30 we'll segue into our exclusive radio broadcast of Derby 146. That's in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network, and very proud and privileged to be able to bring that your way. Kurt will be with me. Tom Leach will join us. Kurt, can't wait for the festivities to kick off later this afternoon.
Mike, looking forward to seeing you and Tom and the gang. And one more thing before I go. We didn't even talk about Todd Fletcher. If you had told me there would ever be a Kentucky Derby where Todd Fletcher would have a starter who's never been in a stakes race, I would have never believed it. But that's the kind of year 2020 has been. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, even some unconventional storylines, that's for sure.
Yeah, money moves. And Kurt, he's a shorter price on the morning line than some of the stakes winners that are in this race. It's incredible.
It really is. I mean, this is a horse. He's been, what, in a maiden special and an allowance optional claim, something like that. But you know, when it's Todd Fletcher and you've got a couple of Derby wins under your belt and you throw a horse like that in, I'm sure the public is thinking, well, Todd wouldn't have the horse. He wouldn't be sending the horse if he didn't think he had a legitimate shot. So we'll see what happens.
All right. We'll talk to you this afternoon, my friend.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Kurt Becker here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That interview, like all of our network, all of our interviews, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor! Caraconti!
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Soleil Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream. Value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gain Farm.
Performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, don't miss any Derby coverage like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the news throughout each day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both of those are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. And for weekly coverage, including the feature stories on the horses, the people in our sport, all you have to do is count on Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet. Download the Tablet Edition today from the App Store or Google Play. Well, a busy couple of hours. Hope you enjoyed the program. My interviews with trainer Dale Romans, with Michael Behrens from My Racehorse, with Sean Clancy enjoying a nice cup of coffee and talking about some aspects of the sport that maybe you don't often think about. Steve Buttleman, the bugler at Churchill Downs, 25 years here in 2020, and Kurt Becker just a few moments ago. Of course, you heard from Jack Knowlton, you heard from Mike Smith, and you heard from Bob Baffert. A reminder to join us this afternoon for Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 201, affiliates around the country and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And then at 5:30 Eastern, we continue on with our exclusive radio coverage of the Kentucky Derby here on HRN in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network. Go to horseracingradio.net for a podcast of this show, to listen to our Derby countdown shows from the past week, and of course to see a complete listing of affiliates and find a station near you. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network and the Equine Forum. Happy Derby Day. Hey, go Steelers.